The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Jay the Red Santee, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid. And as you know, here on our show, we are big fans of music. Pop, R&B, reggae, rock, whatever have you. We love to play it here on the show. But what we want to play is your music. And how can we do that? So you guys partake and share in our Patreon. Ladies and gentlemen, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid. And just give us a small donation and we would love to share your music on our show. Whether you're an artist, you're a singer, you're a producer, whatever it is that you guys do in the field, we want to share your music to the masses and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners and viewers and followers. So make sure you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid. And be a part of our show as much as we want to be a part of sharing your talent. So, hope to hear from you guys soon and enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Smooth Blackman, your dark chocolate chosen one, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. That's what we keep it, 100.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, I'm so happy I struggle because they told me hustle and get to the bag. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm so happy I struggle because they told me hustle and get to the bag. I pull up my aura so different, I don't even see him, but niggas, they mad. Never hating on a nigga or pocket watching for the shit I don't have. I swear to God, I be humble, but they be telling me to stay on their ass.
Fucking with Mark, the audacity. Fucking with Mark, you a casualty. I'm trying to count it up casually. Putting drugs in my anatomy. So I can have all the agony. Learning the art of a strategy. Spreading away from reality. Hoping that it was my fantasy.
Boy, I'm so happy I struggle cause they told me hustle and get to the bag. Niggas be hating, I laugh. I can't be going outside. Too much trauma from the past. Truthfully speaking, don't know how long happiness is gonna last. I keep my foot on the gas. See niggas betting against me, I want my payments in cash. All the drip can't tell I came out of drought. So much water like we swimming with trout. This can't be told, you know nothing about. Really speaking, but my presence be loud. Wifey leaving you to sleep on the couch. If I pull up to your crib, I'm man of the house. She was fucking with boys and I'm turning the hour. She ripping it out, there's a man in the mouth. I live in this world, I ain't make it this way. You and I get the same hours a day. Cursing my name, so I'm making them pray. Hunting them down, I ain't never gonna lay down, but stay down. Know you think you know me from way around. Please back up with a trade pound, gon' spray now. Please back up with a trade pound. Boy, I'm so happy I struggle, cause they told me hustle and get to the bag. I pull up my aura so different, I don't even see him, but niggas, they mad. Never hating on a nigga or pocket watching for the shit I don't have. I swear to God, I be humble, but they be telling me to stay on their ass.
Fucking with Mark, the audacity. Fucking with Mark, you a casualty. I'm trying to count it up casually. Putting drugs in my anatomy. So I can have all the agony. Learning the art of a strategy. Spreading away from reality. Hoping that it was my fantasy. Real nigga with a real struggle. Real nigga with a real hustle. Fuck it cause I turn that shit to a muscle. The hood made it though, better give me a muzzle. In my society, we all a menace. Watch how a nigga get out of the trenches. Get in the future, I'm ballin' like Hendrix. In love with the money, girl, I got a fetish. I need some rings, I ain't Barkley. Treat me like I'm Vince Lombardi. Fucking with me, Harry Carey. Sorry, I ain't really sorry. Know I'm the man in a room full of niggas. Give him the blueprint, I'm taking them jigger. Always make diamonds when I'm under pressure. Make him regret that they treated me lesser. Been going
at me to make the small move. Looking for hundreds, I'm playing Blues Clues. Sleeping on me, if you snooze, you lose. Been that nigga since religion was true. Won't hit again, no deja vu. Stepping in loose, got me like Suwu. No new niggas, I'm like, who you? I got a tray and I got a deuce, deuce.
Boy, I'm so happy I struggle, cause they told me hustle and get to the bag. I pull up my aura so different, I don't even see him, but niggas, they mad. Never hating on a nigga on pocket, watching for the shit I don't have. I swear to God, I be humble, but they be telling me to stay on their ass.
Fucking with Mark, the audacity. Fucking with Mark, you a casualty. I'm trying to count it up casually. Putting drugs in my anatomy. So I can numb all the agony. Learning the art of a strategy. Running away from reality. Hoping that I reach my fantasy.
What's going on, everybody? As you know, this is Matt Olsky from Turnbuckle Tabloid, but when I'm not here talking wrestling, I have another hobby, which is collecting Funko Pops. So if any of you guys want to check out my new page, The Funko Hub, on Instagram, we promote Instagram live sales, raffles, just talk about anything Funko related, what you're collecting, what I'm collecting, and supporting the community at its finest. So guys, check out The Funko Hub on Instagram for all your Funko needs, and to support the Funko community together.
Give me that fucking mic! Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
This week's cutting a promo, ladies and gentlemen. It's unfortunate because I am so
over everyone.
Fucking over the bullshit that goes on with you hypocritical wrestling fans. It's so disgusting.
So this is not cutting a promo. This is cutting a rant.
Basically, it's almost on that line. Marco, what's up, Marco? Moo!
What's good, Marco? What's good?
I'm not going to be here for too long because we do want to watch TakeOver, but I do want to tell you guys that I have to say that, honestly.
Are you ashamed of these people?
Are you disgusted?
Like, do you want to, like, get the ruler out, like in elementary school, and, like, tell these guys, like, on the wrist? Like, come on, what are we doing here?
You know, the reason why there needs to be a discussion about this, and I think I'm just going to cut it off when it comes to people who understand what wrestling is.
Right.
Is the fact that there's this mentality to where that it has to be a tribal thought, that we need to either like one or like the other.
It's, you can like both.
You can if you wanted to.
Well, we do, right?
I
like all promotions besides a few, but I mean, I don't like. I mean, it's not because, but it's not because. It's not,
all right. Let me ask this. Okay. What's your favorite genre of video games?
Video games,
right?
Adventure, like story adventure.
What is your favorite adventure game?
God of War. Is that a God adventure game?
Yes.
God of War is my favorite.
What's the worst adventure game?
The worst adventure game?
Yes.
Any movie game.
Okay.
Like Shrek the Game. like those kind of things just suck.
You can't say any movie game because Spider-Man is an adventure.
Most movie games.
Right.
Like Thor Dark World was terrible. Let's just say movie games are known for being terrible, but there are a few gems.
Okay.
But in the PS2 era was really good for those movie games. But besides that, no.
Okay, so the thought would be that, okay, with wrestling, you love this genre, but you do have those that you just don't like.
Right.
Right. So that works. There are individuals that just say, adventure games, it's all video games, but adventure games is better than action games. Or sports games are way better than action. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's all,
it's based on personal preference.
Right. It's a certain,
like, I know people who go hard on card games, and I know people who go hard on RPGs.
This has been your new thing now, the card game thing.
Yeah. I just pulled a Charizard today, bro. I'm telling you. The luck is here, but that card costs $150.
What are you doing?
I want to get the OG ones, like the original art ones. I always wanted to have those.
How old are you again?
35.
Jesus Christ.
I'm 35. Quarantine makes you think of crazy ideas, bro.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. But it's all right. But like, just because I don't like gotcha games on the phone doesn't mean that other people don't. People, right, like, people put their heart and their fucking passion into those things.
Right.
So you can't say which is better than the other. So I guess the same thing goes with wrestling. Like, there's WWE, there's All Elite, there's Ring of Honor. I guess it depends on what kind of wrestling you like. Is that what you're trying to come with here?
No, it comes to the point where you sit there and you say, how is it that one wrestling promotion can get away with one thing and not get away with it on another wrestling promotion, but it's the same shit? You're doing the same thing. The big thing that came to my peripheral was this week we saw the return of Sting! Sting is here! Sting is here!
Who just reported that he did not like how he was treated in WWE. Brother, you're 60 years old.
He did it too?
He did what?
That he reported that he was not the way he was. Jesus Christ.
Sting said that he didn't care about getting like him losing to Triple H, but he did not. He wanted to be on TV way more and to give the fans what they like his final run, even if it was a manager position. And they threw him in the autograph sessions only. So that's what he said.
You know what's the funny thing about that with Sting? It goes with, listen, it's unfortunate you were sold a bill of goods because someone told you one thing, but you have to know, if you're in WWE and you're a WCW person, you're not going to get fucking love at all.
No, at all. I think the only person who got love, like...
Let me hear your thoughts. Who got love?
Booker T got love.
Yes, yes.
Booker T got love.
Goldberg got it because...
Goldberg got love.
...of how heavy his nostalgic... fucking run was.
Yeah, yeah. He got love. I think he got love because of nostalgia purposes, but also because of how when he first came in, like they it was kind of iffy.
Jason, what up, boy? What's good? But man, damn, man, yo, I gotta reach out to you, Jay, man. Yo, we need to have a conversation. Jason Ellis, our boy from House of Glory, the photo man to the stars. We gotta have a conversation. What's good, boys?
I think Booker T is like the only one that like stands out for me that got like a lot of love. Everyone else was thrown into the mix. The people who got love were the people who transferred to WWE. They didn't like, you know what I'm saying? Like Eddie Guerrero's and the Benoit's.
Right, but that was because
they left.
Yeah, right. It wasn't when
they got bought out.
Bought out, right? Yeah. Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this?
What's up, Jay? What's up, Austin?
What up, Mook from Mexico? I'm Mook from Mexico. Marco, what's up, man? Listen.
What's up, Marco?
Hey, I'm gonna have you for a short period of time because we're gonna watch Takeover, but gotta ask you, what do you hate about wrestling fans and their hypocrisy when it comes to wrestling?
Well, where do I start?
Where do I start?
First of all, I shout out to Skinny Olske. Nice job, bro. Nice job.
Thank you, fam. I appreciate you, bro. Much love.
Yeah, he's still getting over chlamydia. He's still getting over that.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you, Marco. I miss you, man.
Nah, he doesn't have chlamydia. He has to have sex to have chlamydia. That's
it. Yeah, exactly. Okay. We're missing that.
Yeah, have sex to get that.
You know what? The thing is that I agree with you guys. Many people think that because you're a fan of some sort of promotion, now you're sticking with that. And what is the rule to be like that? And you know what? And the thing with Sting you were saying right now, I was seeing the part of that you said that. You know what? Sometimes you need to just say, you know what? I need to go.
And, you know, listen, I'm not trying to say that you should like everything. But if I go to Baskin Robbins, I'm not going to enjoy the 31 fucking flavors. I'm not going to do that. My whole thing is...
Some big boys do.
But at least I know if I enjoy wrestling, I'm going to be a part of that. If I like ice cream, I'm going to be a part of some...
flavor, not all.
I only like Baskin Robbins vanilla. Okay, then you should find another fucking vanilla to be a part with. Honestly.
I just think that it's becoming forgotten that it's okay to like more than one promotion. This is not What's a good example? Like, I guess for the girls, like Twilight. Remember that Twilight phase where it was like Team Edward, whatever the fuck the two names were? And if you can't like both guys, like you have to choose a side. Why are you being loyal to one fucking show? I don't understand like what that gives you.
Marco, before I let you go, this is where it comes down to. I don't understand to where you don't like the wrestling style or you don't like the entertainment purpose of one way, and then you go to another promotion who's basically doing the same shit, but yet you give excuses for it. It doesn't make sense to me why these wrestling fans coincide that this is acceptable.
Right.
Well, you know what? Yeah, many people want to be entertained, but they want to see good wrestling match. Wrestling matches. Not screaming matches and all that crap.
Well, so, I had a conversation with somebody who had the nerve to say in a group chat to where they said, well, WWE is entertainment and AEW is wrestling. And I'm like, what? What the fuck did you just say? I can't even go with it. But Marco, before we let you go, let everybody know where they can get you at.
We're on the red light here in Tijuana, dude. We're going back to the red light. We're not doing that good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're all fucked, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, the wave is bad, man.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm going back to work on Monday, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Going back to war again.
Listen.
Going back to war because people don't listen and they're stupid and they're a bunch of
mooks.
Well, I don't want to say
mooks. Even in Mexico is bad, but stay safe and be protective. We just had a friend of the show that you know that you've spoken with at one time, Ben the Brit, who just came over COVID. And he works in the same field that we do. So you make sure you take care of yourself and make sure that your family stays safe as well, sir.
Hey, guys, take care of yourselves. Lots of love for you guys. Hope you have a great Christmas. I'll phone you in. And we need to talk, guys, because we want to invite you to our new show.
Oh, really?
I'm going to tell you later.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we would love to be there.
We want to talk about lucha. We want to talk about wrestling. We want to talk about a lot of sports, but we want you guys to be our first international guest.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yo, what an honor. Thank you, man.
And we love nothing more than to talk about men on men sweating on each other when it comes to themselves being half naked. What? Okay, no, I'm not about to go.
All right.
And Marco, give us a mook before you leave.
Guys, coming back on Top Light, the best show. Mook, Latino
heat. I'm done. Which, by the way, I want to do a quick shout out to my boy, Nick. He said he called me this morning saying that he watched a show and someone said Mook on the show. And he thought of me. So I guess Mook's the international word now.
It's funny because Uncle Fred is in the room and we were talking about a young man who was part of our program a couple of years ago.
What was his nickname? Mook?
No, his rapper name now is King Mook. And it's like, okay.
No.
Yeah, we might have a conversation about that.
Someone has to sit down and talk to him about changing that name. No, King Mook.
So like I said, I'm just tired of the hypocrisy when it comes to wrestling fans. And it comes from everything. Comes from merchandise. Comes to...
But what about merch? What do you mean by merchandise?
Merchandise. You get...
That's confusing for me.
And he goes, there was a lot of talk about if you're a mark, you're a mark when you wear the Bullet Club shit. You're a Bullet Club mark, right? If you wear that, you don't know nothing about the business. You just like the way it looks. You like the way the gear is or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
AEW started promoting fucking the Sting fucking merch, and it sold out so quick, right? How the fuck he came out wearing the shirt?
But WWE always does that. Remember, Goldberg comes out and he returns and his new shirt's
out. That's what I'm saying. AEW's not the only one that does it.
I think WWE was the first one that started it.
Exactly. So they're the same. It's the same thing.
It's funny when you see other companies talk shit about each other, but then use the same tactics to make money.
Right. But once again, it goes to a thing like, oh, you're a mark if you're wearing such and such. Whatever.
Not really.
But then you sold out, but fucking you're doing the same thing. Oh, and then the other thing comes out to where we go to the comedic look of what wrestling is, right? And we've been talking about it for weeks, months on it. About,
right.
There goes WWE again, trying to be funny with the New Day. Oh, there they go again, trying to be funny with the Street Profits or whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to Impact and you get segments where you're in a fucking wrestling house and now you're wrestling to get into
to sleep on the one of the matches was to sleep on the bed. instead of sleeping on the fucking floor
and
outside.
It's wait a minute. What? Like, how is it acceptable in one forum of the promotion and not acceptable in the other one? Is it because you're telling me, well, you know, they do it better than someone else? I can take that.
Okay. But you know, and we'll get into that like on a different cutting up promo, but I really look back now, and I remember before Orange Cassidy went on AEW television, me and Red would sit down at like Outlaw Wrestling and say, yo, if this dude gets on TV, these companies are going to take this shit for to heart and go, yo, we need to become more comedic.
That's
what happened. He got signed.
Rondo, what up? Yeah. Hey, Ben, what's going on, sir?
For me, I just don't like when fans...
What's good, Frankie?
When fans like something that WWE does, but then AEW does the same thing and they shit on it.
Oh, look at Homebook. Hey, Homebook.
And it bothers me.
Homebook should call in for this because Homebook, he's always the first one to sit there and be like, fuck off with this shit.
Right, right, right.
He's more jaded and fucking...
He's over it.
And fucking fucking satirical when it comes to this shit. He's done with it.
Have you been feeling this way for a while, or is this just like recent with Sting? Because like for me, the Sting thing bothered me because not because Sting came back. I'm happy that he's back. Listen, like he might not be able to wrestle whatever contract he's in. It's just cool to see him on TNT again with Shivani. It's a cool nostalgia trip. Not mad at it, but you cannot shit on Goldberg coming back and winning a championship. But if Sting wins the AEW belt. Kiss his feet. You can't do that. Okay, that's the same thing that happened. You're kissing an old man's ass.
Let's look at what AEW did this week with the Kenny Omega and Moxley match. Which, by the way, we didn't really get to go in depth with it because you were in a rush today.
Yeah.
If you listen to episode 201, we did it in Around the Square Circle. We talked about it.
It was okay.
And I didn't really no. And here's my problem. I had to go look at it fully, and I didn't want to. Because, like I said, you were in a rush. You had things to do.
Yep.
Here's my problem, once again.
Yep.
When the fuck can we sit there and have a legit heavyweight match in AEW without hardcore bullshit?
Oh, no. They bleed every main event. They bleed every main event. It's never just a good old route.
I'm talking about for the heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
When can it be a legit wrestling match?
You know, I'm starting to realize that their blading spots are starting to get real poor too. Like they look, he bleeds off getting a thrown in an egg carton thrown at him, like some stupid shit.
But wrestling fans will go, why is it that every heavyweight match in a pay per view has to be a stipulation? Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this?
Make a good point.
Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this?
Hey, you told me to call up.
Mike!
Homick! What's going on, sir?
I miss you, Mike.
I miss you, too. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
The most cynical and facetious fucker in wrestling, and I thought it was us who would do it on the social media, but you, my friend...
I didn't realize that's my gimmick. I didn't realize that.
It can be now.
It can be now. Own it, wear it, and this is you.
Homick Jaded Mike. Oh, shit.
So, what is your thoughts about the hypocrisy when it comes to the wrestling fans and I also have to go in because you're an indie fan as well. We'll even go into that quickly about the indie fans who seem to not understand and translate when it comes to the indie promotions who do one thing and they'll bash them, but yet accept it from another place. So what's your thoughts about, like, let's say the first scale of how people look at the mainstream wrestling, the hypocrisy of wrestling fan, how one wrestling promotion gets away with things in another. What's your thoughts about, especially now, what's happening?
Well, God. It's funny when you mention I feel like more jaded now, because honestly right now, I am really, like, I'm watching TakeOver tonight. I'm watching the pre-show as we speak. I find it sometimes hard to even just, like, put on Raw or SmackDown. Not even, like, just because of, like, the hours, but, like, the storylines, too. But I've said, I guess, when you talk about the indies and, like, oh, it's, like, it's fine one place and it's different the other one. That's really what you're talking about.
Right. Because you get it to feel that. If WWE went into the well and wanted to and wanted to play around with what the indies did and put it on their main show, fan base will bash it up and down all day. They'll hate it.
Yeah.
But as soon as
nine times out of ten, if anything, like any major promotion does something that they do on the indies, they say it's probably the worst thing on God's green earth.
Right.
It's probably the worst thing of all year.
Right.
Meanwhile, when they do it on the indies, like, oh my God, they should definitely do it on the main television. It's like, motherfucker, you just said a second ago the opposite.
And, well, and people don't understand that, like, wrestling companies get their ideas from other wrestling companies. They work, they feed off what gets other companies over, and it's about branching out and learning from other companies. You're not going to do everything new. It's impossible. It's impossible.
Right.
It's impossible.
That whole Symphony of
Destruction match.
That was,
that's got to go.
That was in an indie promotion.
Instead of musical instruments, it was light tubes and cigarillos.
Oh yeah, it was, there was a thing somewhere.
Some doobies, I don't know.
You know, Elias getting shocked by a freaking, what was it, like a guitar string going into an amp, like.
What?
It's 2020, about to become 2021. Like, what are we doing?
But the crazy thing is that if AEW did it, but if it was
Destruction of Symphony.
No, I'm gonna tell you exactly what AEW would have done. If it was AEW, it would have been video game on a fucking pole match or whatever.
No, we called on the video game Palooza.
That's coming up soon.
Exactly.
You called it, bro. I can totally see.
Have you seen Miro's gimmick? That's gonna happen sooner.
Bro, there's gonna be switches in the ring and Xboxes in the corner.
And it'll be like a Super Nintendo that shocks the shit out of somebody because it's old.
The floors, instead of thumbtacks, it's going to be old cartridges.
But the great,
shit like that.
But the great thing about it is that we on the show, and I will call Homework on this and be like, listen, let's compare the Symphony fucking match bullshit compared to the video game match and be like, it's the same bullshit, yeah, but the fan base will accept.
We're
going to
eat up the video game one more.
Of course.
So yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's other ideas from other people.
One side of the fan base would say, oh, Vince McMahon is a fucking idiot for doing it. And the others would say, oh, Tony Khan's a genius for doing it. Like, wait a minute. What is the difference?
What is what promotion right now is annoying you the fuck most right now?
WWE. I'll say WWE, like, main product. I would say Raw and SmackDown mostly. Except for the Roman Reigns stuff and the Drew McIntyre stuff, everything else, I'm like, okay, can we move on, please? Like, let's go. Come on.
What storyline? What storyline in AEW or what fucking anything on AEW is fucking annoying you the fuck right now?
The fact that I'm trying to think of an AEW storyline because most of the time it's like I'm watching. I'm like, okay, we're just doing shit for the sake of doing shit.
Okay. But, Now that you said that, that builds me up to this. There's so many motherfuckers who sit there as wrestling fans who will go, well, you know, WWE doesn't have any storylines. They don't know. Their stories go from one way to another, and they don't mean anything. And then they're going to sit there and watch an AEW fucking program. But this is great. But we spoke about it last episode where we go, I need a fucking compass and a fucking and a tripod with a fucking another measure of fucking instruments that could help me to connect. Why these storylines make sense?
They expect you to watch AEW Dark and then read their books and then then read the magazine that comes out every week.
No, Matt, it's worse. They expect you to watch the BTE YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They expect you to watch their YouTube and their fucking Dark. Guess what? I don't have it throughout the week. Time. So do me a favor and fucking stop doing that. Even WWE knows better. It's like, we're leaving it at this. We're not doing bullshit.
It reminds me of like when I was playing Uncharted and I loved the series and everything. And all that.
I love Uncharted.
Uncharted. But then if Uncharted told me, well, if you really want to know the real reason why Drake was feeling this way, then you have to go to the YouTube and follow his Twitter. And
I would not want to play it.
You.
I wouldn't play it.
I'm not doing that.
I was just talking about that though with like Star Wars at work. Like everyone knows Mandalorian season 2 came out and there's a character where blah blah blah. They expect you to read the Jedi novels of fucking old time. Like, there's 30 Jedi books you need to read to understand where this guy came from. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm not reading 30 Jedi books,
but
okay?
But you know what? But you know what? Like, but you know what? With that, that's something different because, for me, it's like, that's been there years ago. So it's like, If you want to understand it, that goes for you to understand it then.
It's an option. Now no, it's like forced.
Nowadays, it's like this shit. For you to understand why, what was it? Lucius is in a fucking. In an angle with Kenny Omega, you better make sure that you watch fucking Dark and also BTE. It's like, get the fuck,
bro. But here,
I have to do homework for this shit.
Here's
the thing with wrestling. It's like if you have a 3-hour show, 2-hour show, I expect you in that span of time to at least explain to me and the rest of the viewers that have brains why this is happening, why certain things happen. I shouldn't have to go on YouTube and watch a fucking 2-minute video that could be summed up in probably 30 seconds.
Well, it's funny because a little bit goes, now I have to go and look for fucking Impact to find out why I should be connected with AEW's connection with them and all this. She goes, fuck off. It's like, I can't even find this shit.
Okay, but you know what pisses me off? It's like,
she's like, fuck that.
But you know, on my Funko page, I get people messaging me all the time. Did you watch Dark? Are you watching Dark? And I say no. And they say, and I asked them, I was like, do you genuinely enjoy Dark? And they said, I love Dark. I think it's extra content. I think it's great. And I asked them, well, do you watch Main Event, Superstars, any of those extra shows in WWE? Hell no. It's terrible.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Exactly. And that's the hypocrisy. That's the general
the person this morning.
That's the hypocrisy.
The person literally said, I refuse to watch Main Event and Superstars because it doesn't matter. I said, well, you know what? You're watching Dark. Yeah, but AEW Dark at least has some flair to it. No, that's not an answer for me. That's not an answer for me. Yeah, 205 Live, NXT UK.
Exactly.
None of that.
That's the
reason to watch that show.
Exactly. That's the hypocrisy of it.
So, like I hope people realize that both companies rely on each other to get ideas and fresh ideas. So, the same thing you're shitting on that WWE does, AEW will be doing in a month. And I'll wait for you to love it. Because when you love it, I'm going to come back to this day and say, you fucking hated what WWE did.
Exactly.
But why?
They're doing the same week of the same shitty thing.
But why? Because there's a TNT sticker on it? Because Cody's on it? You're going to love it? How about you judge it down the middle and just like... This is what I'm saying. Like, this is why when we do Around the Squared Circle, there are some days where people say, oh, Red always hates AEW, or Matt, you always fucking shit on Raw or SmackDown. And I'm like... No, I go by a week basis. Red goes by a week basis. If I like it 1 week, I'll say I like it. But if I hate it the next week, I ain't gonna lie to you. I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be the first one to say it. AEW was actually not bad this week. Usually I shit on it. It wasn't that bad. Yeah. It's all about honesty. And stop beef blowing a show because you think it's a team. This is not Halo. This is not Red versus Blue, okay? Like what you like, bruh. This is not a fucking competition. If you think it is, you're a mark for that. I'd rather wear a Bullet Club shirt than fucking be a mark for a specific show. Imagine going to work and someone goes up to you with a Raw t-shirt and goes, yo, I only watch Raw, son. I only watch Raw, dog.
Then you're not a wrestling fan.
I'm like, then you're a mark for yourself and for the show.
But, Homo, thanks for calling in, and we want to... You're gonna come in soon, like once all this shit clears up. And I know
Mike's in overtime right now with the fucking you fucking working and shit in the holidays.
Yeah. But once again, you're gonna be coming in soon. But please, you guys at General Admission has been showing us great love. But let everybody know where they can get you guys at.
Mostly, you can just follow us on Twitter and Facebook at the GAWP Show. And if you want to follow me, if you want to, I'm not really begging you, but it's at @m_Santino530. I plug it as if I use it on a daily basis, but I don't.
Hey, Mike, Mike, I'm going to pull some AEW shit. Do you want to get signed by a Turnbuckle Tabloid?
By who?
Do you want to get signed? Do you want to get a long 3-year deal?
You get the 3-year deal, and you
merch. You wear your merch on the first day.
You'll get the Legends deal right now because you've been with us for so long. You get the Legends deal.
I've been waiting for this moment
all my life.
Brother, love you for with all my heart.
Love you, Mike,
for calling in, and thank you for everything, bro.
Hopefully, I'll see you guys soon.
Yes, sir. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I really don't. Why is it that we do this? And like, if it was gang warfare, if you were a Blood or a Crip,
that's what I'm saying. They're treating it like that.
if it was
if you wear a SmackDown shirt, they think you're a part different. Of the crew. Putting a part of a crew. Like, this is not Grease. So no, what's it called? West Side Story. This is not a fucking group.
It's crazy
thing.
Because like I'm a big rap fan, and I will go when people will give me, "Are you a Biggie or Tupac fan?" I'm like, oh, I love Biggie because he's Brooklyn, but right. I do like a lot of Pac songs. Like, because I'm a
you don't
rap
get hung.
Fan.
You don't get hung for fucking hung liking it, both. No, I'm saying you don't get killed for liking both.
But then the bigger thing would be like, well, you know, Biggie talked about block shit. Pac did the same shit. Fuck out of here. Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this?
Good evening, Mooks. It's Ben the Brit. How are you?
Oh, Ben. It seems like I talked to you yesterday. It seems like it's so long.
Ben, it's been a while.
It's been a while, sir.
Are you all right?
Ben. Yeah. So now that you hit me up and you was like, I don't get what you guys are talking about, mate, but I will call in anyway. Do you understand what we were saying now about the hypocrisy when it comes to wrestling fans?
Yeah, I get what you mean now. I mean, like I said to you on Messenger, most wrestling fans are fucking idiots, to be fair.
It's not so much better when a Brit says
it. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's one of the main things I dislike about wrestling, to be honest. I mean, I used to be quite opinionated about it now, but now if I don't like something, I don't watch it. So I don't understand why people get so fucking mental about
it. Oh, my cousin is watching. Hi, boy. My boy Blue. What's up? No, but that's the other two. How is it that you guys, I mean, because you're a guy who likes different genres of wrestling. We've often have our conversation about it. You're a juggalo, you like the death match, or you play whatever the case may be. And it's fine. We all have that. But the hypocrisy of when one genre, one promotion does one thing and another promotion does it the same way, and people sit there and have to, I guess they feel as though they have to stay aligned to one, because it boggles me to why is there this separation? Is it like that everywhere else?
I think so. I mean, when you go for the, if you're on about like the people moaning about Goldberg coming back and winning the title and Sting coming back and blah, blah, blah. I think it depends on the person, on the wrestlers themselves, to be honest, because, you know, Goldberg is, you know, he's a huge name. I mean, again, I didn't like him when he was in WCW because I personally didn't think he's a very good wrestler. But people love Goldberg. People love Sting. So no matter where these guys pop up, people are going to pop for them. But then if someone pops up who they don't like, they say it's shit. And it's like, I'll take you back to the first time I ever saw, like, what they called, you know, like, what was the
porn
grave match with? the cinematic matches.
Right.
The first place I really saw cinematic stuff in wrestling was Lucha Underground.
And right. Exactly. You know what? That is perfect because everybody loved
kiss their feet
when Lucha was doing the cinematic matches. They loved it, but then. When anybody else, when WWE and Impact was doing it, it was like, I don't know, it sounds so... But yeah, you're the same fan base that loved that fucking... Get the fuck out of here. I mean,
I'm quite a bit funny on that because I quite liked the cinematic stuff on Lucha Underground, but I was not a big fan of the Undertaker and AJ stuff. But I only liked the Lucha Underground stuff because it was cheesy as fuck, whereas I think the WWE stuff was supposed to be quite a serious thing. I mean, again, with all the pyro stuff, with the stuff that happened with Elias and Jeff Hardy, people were like, oh, that he got electrocuted by a guitar string. Did anyone ever watch Wrestling Society X?
I love Wrestling Society X. That shit is fucking hilarious.
Exactly.
People got set on fire and fireworks and electrocuted every week. So, I mean, it's not like this stuff hasn't happened before. I just think it's down to personal taste. I mean, I've got to the point now where I don't watch Raw and SmackDown because I don't enjoy them, and people get way too much into it. I see people arguing online all the time. I just think to myself, I'm 32, mate. I can't be fucking arse of shit like that. If I don't like it, don't watch it. I watch every week on Thursday night. I watch NXT UK, and on a Friday night I watch AEW and I watch Impact because I enjoy watching them. People bitch and moan about Impact every week, and it pisses me off. But I aren't going to entertain their opinions by getting into an argument with them because that's what they want.
Before I let you go, because we already wrap it up. The one thing that I do have to ask you about still, because you mentioned it on the last episode, was you weren't a big fan of Sting. Why?
It just never appealed to me. I just didn't think. I don't know. It's why doesn't anyone like?
He's your guy. He's that dark juggalo painting face guy. Like I don't. Why was that night? I don't know.
Not for me. I was always a Vampiro. I liked the NWO as well. I liked the Outsiders. I liked Hollywood. And he was more like of a good guy. The only time I semi-liked him was when he joined the Wolfpack.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, the Wolfpack is cool. They've got cool music. You know, I kind of liked him then, but I've just never really... He's just someone I've never really taken to. And that goes for a lot of people that a lot of people like. I mean, I like a lot... I'm a heel guy. Like, I love Brock Lesnar. I love bad guys. But then, obviously, there is good guys that I do like as well, so... It's just personal preference. Like, why do I like Naked Midian so much in the Mean Street Posse?
Well, I tell you, we are going to have one episode. We're definitely going to make Olski Naked Midian. We have to have it happen.
Nope, not until you put your end of the bargain and dress them up for Halloween.
Nope, so. You look more like Naked Midian, so we're going to make it happen. But
yeah, whatever, fuck yourself.
Ben, thanks for calling in, and thank you always for always supporting. And I know it's kind of late because, you know... Matt's mom wasn't letting him out the house, but it's okay. We had to do what to deal with.
We do what we do.
Fighting to not have his nappy changed.
And thank you for calling in.
Well, he has to take over to watch now.
Yeah, so. We got to watch it right now. And so, guys, we're going to wrap it up right now with Ben on the phone, and we're going to make sure that you guys watch the rest of the night. And thank you for calling in, for everyone who did call in. And thank you guys for being a part of Turnbuckle Tabloid Live. And enjoy the takeover and enjoy Turnbuckle Tabloid's episode this week. And we're off this. And once again, stay safe and mask up. We still got shit that we got to deal with in this fucking world. Laters.
Yep.
This is the Dead Man, Big Evil himself, The Undertaker. This is the Turnbuckle Tabloid. Download and stream on all podcasting outlets. You could also watch them on Facebook Live. Be sure you check them out, or else you'll rest in peace.
Good day, boys and girls. Once again, it's about that time to enjoy stories from your favorite wrestler and mine. He's funny, he's witty, he's charming, and he'll give you the stories that you'll love to sit back and listen to. It's Ride or Die with Homicide.
Todavía old man Logan, because que paró esto stands.
Yeah, for real, but I'm blessed, man.
That's beautiful. I saw that show. I was like, whereby? I said, somebody got to update their Wikipedia now. I said, they still got you with two kids there. They still got you with two.
Yeah, but it's killing me because the time schedule, like late nights, my little girl always awake.
Mm-hmm.
And she always waking me up, so my sleeping habits is not good. But it's worth it.
But I would figure since you would be on the road and haciendo cosas, I know that you would be like a night owl. That wouldn't be anything to you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I did that in a long time, and I, you know, I started to, like, you know, do the home thing, you know, and I think I forgot about the road thing, you know, because of the road, all I was doing is drinking, smoking blunts, getting paid, and be out to the next town. Now it's just different.
I mean, and look at you, John, now it's like the domestic man. Who would know that D would be the domestic homicide? Who would know that
shit?
Yeah,
man. I definitely got two. Like, I'm bipolar, man. I'm a nutcase, but I'm a family man, too.
No, but it's not nothing new because you seem to share it with the guys también in the locker room. You've always been a family guy. But, it, you know,
yeah.
It's to see you. When tú estabas poniendo el retrato and shit, when you put the pictures up of your daughter and all, I was like, mira este, look at him. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's such yeah, growth.
It's crazy, man, but it's a good feeling.
It's a tough year, man. This was your retirement year, and this fucking shit hit. Is it like, are you second guessing doing a retirement and waiting another year so at least the fans could come out more?
I'll be honest with you, I fucked up. I messed up. Meaning, like, I want to retire. I want to start retiring. Now I'm doing the comeback. So I'm just... And I sound like Terry Funk, you know, like everyone tells me that, man, you sound like Terry Funk. I always want to retire because this is like 20 times already. And I wasn't feeling it because the rest of the business, if you see the way I see it in the inside, it's horrible. I don't like it.
Right.
You know, like everything is just, to me, in my opinion, is fucking horrible. But you still got mad love for it. And that's it's in my blood. You know, if I don't compete, I am going to be a coach. I am going to be a producer. Matter of fact, I was doing producing for NWA. Had a bat blast. Had a ball. I saw my career, my future, and that's what I want to do. Maybe I go to WWE or Ollie Wrestling. I don't know, man. So let's see what happens. But, yeah, man, like, I wanted to stay retired, and what happened? Boom, I need to come back. I can't stay retired like this with this COVID madness and everything.
You sure it's not the newborn? You sure it's not the newborn that's keeping you out of retirement? You sure the newborn is looking?
That's our dog. That's our, but I don't know if you heard the story about MVP. Mm. He got a baby. He's a little older, but he been a story. His story was that he wanted to see his kid be in the audience and see his dad. No, Russell, and that's what he did, and I felt good. You know, that came from the heart.
Right.
And MVP, he's like one of those guys that don't mess around. Mm. So he's gully, you know. So when he did that, I thought about myself because my son, I had him about 24 years ago. You know, I was young, dumb, and stupid. He came to one of my shows. This is a little different, you know.
Right.
And I was saying, man, I need my daughter to see me just one time in a wrestle. I don't know when. I'm 43 right now. I'm just going to be quiet when I say I'm going to retire. I'm just going to take my book.
Ese como Red. Ese como Amazing Red. Amazing Red retired like three times in 1 year, bro.
Yeah, man, because you're hablando, like, I'm going to retire. And, bro, all right, he's back. I told you. And I really appreciate my boys, my crew saying, like, man, he talks so much shit. Me always saying that. I appreciate that because that means like they don't want me to retire. So, but they're always dogging me.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that I put the mic on already because I already know that once we start talking, shit just starts going off. So I just want to let you know the mic is already on. I'm already recording. Oh, yeah. I'm already recording because you always bring fucking magic. And it's funny because every time, you know, I tell people that you're going to be on the show and it's always a big thing, but I've gotten to a point with you that is like, that's family. That's people right there, bro. Like, it's not even like the first time we hooked up and we kicked in and shit and we found out that we're from the same neighborhood, went to the same high school and shit. Don Abiel was like, damn, but that's still fucking homicide, bro. Like, I remember like seeing that nigga. Like, it's like, I remember him. But then now it's like, yeah. Oh, yo, you talking to homicide? I said, yeah, that's D. That's people. That's fam. So now I kick it back. I grabbed the beers and I said, all right, let's get it rolling. Let's get it going.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, but seriously, like, I mean, it's tough to have this transition, man. 43. I got one daughter. She's 13. I'm 44, and I'm like, I make a decent living. You know, I live in a, you know, I'm still in New York City, but you know, my neighborhood is pretty chill. I can't see myself having another kid, man. I'm like, what? Come on. I can't see that whole. I guess it's the old school way, because remember, our grandparents and our parents, we had like, your father was 65 and he was 20 and shit. Like that was like the norm and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I could see it, but I don't know. I guess these days we're still young, man. 40's the new fucking 25 or some shit, man.
Yeah, man. Also, you gotta have great support. Your family gotta have your back, help you. If you got great support, then you're good. Of course, having a baby, especially at this time, it's like buying 3 houses. So everything in your mind. Oh my God, I gotta get a job. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And that's the way I am. I don't want to go back to my hustling days. And like I say, wrestling is in my blood. So that's my hustle right there. Is wrestling. I could do like perform behind the scenes, marketing, promoting. Everything you can name up, and just like people need to understand this is a business to make money. A lot of people do it for fun, especially like competitors. They just go out there and be like, hey man, just give me like $30 to wrestle. That's it, man. And I'm like, you messing my money up, because I'm trying to get like a G or something. And he's trying to be like, oh, give me that. And it's too many, like, there's a term you already know that people say marks.
Right.
To me, in my opinion, marks is not fans, because everybody thinks marks is like, oh, that's a fan. That's like a true hardcore fan or whatever. I see it differently now. The new marks is the promoters in professional wrestling who doesn't know anything about the business,
right,
how to make money and the future, become a billionaire, because in my point, I want to have a future. I just don't want to go to an independent show, wrestle for like one day, and that's it. And I get hurt, God forbid, knock on wood, I get hurt, break my knee. I got no insurance. How I'm going to get paid? You know what I mean? Nobody's not thinking about the future. Promoters are the new marks. And not all of them, because some of them are real deal, but like about 80% are the marks, or small marks, whatever you want to call them. And wrestling fans are wrestling fans. They're just too smart. They already know the deal, We call it carny because it's like a carnival, like circus. Back in the day, we protect the business. Look at Undertaker. He was on Undertaker for 30 years. He never broke character. That's what he is. I never broke character because I'm not a gimmick. I believe we'll shoot you. I got a blade in my boot. That's really him, But for me, I protect the business, That's what I do. But now, fans, everybody, they already know the deal. I don't know, man. It's just crazy, crazy the way it is right now. But somebody told me it's a new breed. Like back in the days in the 70s, like Harley Race, Terry Funk, Dory Funk looked at people in the 80s and they said the same thing what we was thinking. I started in the 90s. That's when ECW came around. And I was like, yo, man, these people are white. They're telling me, yo, you whack, man. You're too small. You don't got nothing. I bust my ass. The 2000 came. Then after the 2010 all the way to 2019, 2020. And now people like myself are saying that to the new generation. Y'all motherfuckers are whack because you don't know how to work the right way. You don't know how to protect the business. And you don't know how to make money.
It's funny you said that because you've always been the locker room guy. You've always been the promoter's wrestler. Like you're the guy who goes in there. You're like, yo, you whatever you need me to do, I get in there. And if the shit don't sound right, you keep it a buck with them. You're like, yo, this not going to work, or, whatever needs to be done, just get my bread. We out of here. You know what I'm saying? So to hear you talk the way you talk, and it's like, it's like you mentioned, it's like the Undertaker finally breaking his gimmick, because it's like you feel you're actually the elder statesman and you're frustrated with you seeing what's going on. And me being a fan for the longest time, like I ain't never been one to want to go in the ring and take a bump. But, I figured that I'm a guy who I'm the fan that observes. I'm a creative dude and I look at shit and I see and I hear, because I for the past, 9 years, I've gotten a feel of the back. Behind the curtain of being at indie promotions, being at indie shows, knowing promoters, knowing guys, the guys we know, like Brian and, the Reds and all these guys, and see how they move. And you go and you get a feeling, a sense of yeah, some motherfuckers out there is only here just to say that they're part of this shit. And that's the new breed of guys that you're talking about. A lot of these guys, just because they got a little fucking little wallet, a little pocket change, think they're automatic promoter. What's the first thing that you tell these dudes when they come into the game, like when you're about to start this? Like, what's the first? Because I know they come to you for some kind of fucking education. What's the first thing you let them know about starting some shit or doing a fucking a promotion?
Well, first I tell them work smart. Don't work stupid. There's a difference to working smart. Work smart, protecting your gimmick, protecting everything. Just protect the business. You know, stupid stuff. I did stupid stuff back in the day, too, but I was young. You know, and at the time, a lot of people don't know that I'm trying to go to the WWF. Vince McMahon wanted the big dudes, big guys, husky. I'm not a big guy. I'm a small guy. I'm 5'8 with a temper. You know, I'm like Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. That's the way I am.
Right.
You know, but ECW came around. They changed the business. And I was like, I want to be just like Mick Foley. Worst mistake ever I did. But it was worth it because I made a name for myself. Like, I did my hardcore moments, whatever you want to call it. And be honest, so I never liked hardcore. I could watch it. I'm a fan of people doing it, but I don't like doing it. but I'm so good doing it because, dude, you get so tired going to the hospital with no health insurance and getting paid, like the bills coming in.
But was the money worth? Was the money worth it though? That. Was the money worth it though?
What's up?
Was the money worth it to do the hardcore to open up and all that? Because, you know, that's what people tell me when I talk, when I have conversations with the guys who do it, like Pinky and these guys who do, you know, the deathmatch shit or the really hardcore stuff when it happens. They say that depending on the promoter, the money's worth it.
Oh, back in the days, it was worth it. But now you think about it, you be like, hell no, it's not worth it. Because you're thinking about the way your body feels. You still got to pay the hospital bills because, man, I think I pay over like 15-20 grand hospital bills. Like simple stuff like a broken finger, stitches, concussions, and all that. Now you're in your 40s, you're thinking about your brain. You're thinking about, you're seeing a lot of stuff about the Chris Benoit, the football players with the concussions. And I know for a fact I got something wrong with my brain because when I speak, my speech is not that great, not that stutter. But I get stuck. Yeah. If I want to say something, it's in my head. I know what to. It's like I'm talking to you, and I know what to say, but it's not coming out.
Let's be honest. It's been like that for a long time, though. It's been wrestling, or it's because of the education that we got in Eastern District. I don't know which one it is, but
yeah, no, it's definitely from wrestling because I'm like, what the hell's going on? I know the fact, I know, but it's from wrestling.
What's the biggest payday besides, you know, being in NWA, if you don't mind me asking, being in TNA, being in these other promotions, what was the biggest payday that you can remember that you got from like an indie promotion? And what was it for?
I think it was a tie. I was in Japan, early days. I think I was making like $1,600 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Then for television, it's a difference. It's a contract. So it's like a salary. It's like a real job. It's a salary.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 weeks, you get paid. And mine was like 12. Every year, it goes up. The last one I was doing, it was like 2,800 every 2 weeks.
Wow. That's not bad, man. Yeah. Shit. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad at all, Dan. But that's only out of TNA. Now, WWE, it depends where you go. WWE, even only wrestling, they different because they got a billion-dollar company. TNA at the time was the beginning of the million-dollar stage. So if you go only wrestling, especially WWE, right, forget about it. You're going to buy 3 houses after that.
Right.
I got so many friends at WWE, they're already telling me, like, yo, D, man, you got to come to my spot, man. I said, what are you talking about? Yo, I got a new bar or I got a new car. And they show me pictures. I'm like, oh, damn, okay. Like, payday is good. They showed me the numbers. So I'm like, all right, God bless you. That's good. Yeah. Do your thing.
And you a good dude. You know why? Because a lot of motherfuckers that we know that we've come up with, a lot of motherfuckers that you know in the business will look at that shit and will be so fucking jealous and be so hateful to those people that they will fucking, they would even wear that shit like if it's a fucking jersey. You know what I'm saying? Where you a guy that you give him like, yo, that's good for you, man. And these are guys that you worked with. These are your friends. These are peoples. You know what I'm saying? And you still
You know something? You should know about this. Like, my biggest thing of everything is I tell people, never forget where you came from.
Right.
I always tell everybody.
So what do you mean by saying that you never forget where you came from? Because a lot of guys that you know, a lot of those guys you came up with and now they're big. I mean, I'm talking about like you've been in the ring that they're actually best friends, big. I mean, guys that you could call right now on a humble and be like, yo, what's popping? What we getting into? What do you mean you never forget where you came from when you talk to these guys?
Well, perfect example. Let me give you a name. Let's say Santana. He's one of my good dudes, you know. He's from the Bronx. He's really a hood guy. He knows where he came from. He got history, you know. Like, so basically, he's on TV. He's a major star right now. He's blowing up. He calls back to the hood, and all of us is telling us, yo, Mike, you know, how you doing? How's your day? You know, hey, man, you want to get some grub? You want to get some food? And he just look at us and be like, fuck out of here, man. I don't want to talk to y'all. And he leaves. You know, he like basically just this is on boys. You know, and so like we call him, he don't want to talk to us. It's like the bond in the, you know, like we all have. And I don't want nobody doing that. I see so many people playing that diva role. And I think that's wrong. That's very wrong. You know, and I tell all my peoples, man, when you make it, don't change. Be yourself. You see Eddie Kingston on TV? That's really Eddie Kingston. That's really him on TV and all the wrestling.
And that's the shit that I say for us from us coming where we came from. That's the shit that I respect. Because when it comes from a lot of other guys that we know, like that don't know the ground and pound that that New York City, how to come up is that the reason why you where you at is because where you were bred and made. This is what made us, you know. This is why you fucking knew how to struggle or to hustle or to make us the guys that we are now. This is where we made it. If it's some outside motherfuckers who was out from fucking Cambridge or some shit like that, you'd be like, what the fuck? I don't know that world. But check your peoples, it's like, that's where realness is at, because only true friends will check their real friends.
Exactly.
I'm gonna give me a second. Hold on a second. I gotta open my door. Give me a second, all right?
Yes.
All right. So what is it that you We get conflicting thoughts when it comes to when you leave the hood. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes people say, you always, when you do want to go back, you want to check in and you want to touch down with those people. And like you said, never forget where you came from. But you also get the idea, and you already know, there's some hating motherfuckers that want to see you come back as well. You know what I'm saying? So what do you tell, and like you said, this is a new day and age of not only wrestlers, but the life that we live, New York City and everything. You got some real hating motherfuckers that be waiting for you to come home. Like, can you also understand where they come from when they're like, nah, I don't want to fuck with that shit?
They don't like their life.
No?
They're miserable. Their life, you know, maybe they have problems with their family. They got baby mama drama. IRS, they just miserable. People who hate you, they're all miserable. You come back home, you want to show mad love, and all they want to do is stick you up because you're miserable. That's why I'm going to come back to the hood, show some love, and you're going to come after me, do something to me. You know, like, nah, man, it can't be like that. I tell people, just be careful, you know what I mean? It's like a vibe, you know, don't be too relaxed when you come back to the hood, because things are different right now. you're upscale a little bit. You're hanging out with ballers right now. So, of course, you're going to have that one hating mofo looking at you. I always show people that movie Juice. Mm-hmm. You remember Tupac's character, Bishop?
Mm-hmm.
Every crew, your crew, my crew, we got a Bishop. You got to watch out for that dude. You don't know because he's invincible. But when he start doing good, he's going to give it the eye look.
Mm.
Like, I hate you, nigga. Like, I hope your Jets give us this bad. I hope you can have a bad turkey or something. You know, your coquito be bad. Watch out for Bishop.
This is what I'm saying. Like, when you hear Santana, like, come back and, you know, he's acting the way he is. Is it because of that? Or is it because, like, you just think he's moving funny now?
It could be both, man. Like, I'm always remember myself when I went to Japan for the first time. You know, I went back to Bed-Stuy Monster Project because that's where I'm from. And I was telling my boys about my whole story. I was giving them, like, you know, the souvenirs, little souvenirs and everything. And one cat, his name is David, black dude. And he's like, yo, D, I see you. You balling right now. But the way he was looking at me was very raw. So in the project, I go to the stairs. You know how the project stairs are.
Mm-hmm.
And I got stuck up and he had a mask on. So we was fighting. He had no bullets, but un pendejo. So I grabbed his face and I ripped his mask. It's like one of those ski masks and the chinos they be buying. And I ripped it and it was him. I was so in shock. Dude, pistol beat me.
Oh, shit.
And I was so in shock. This happened when I was like 18 years old. And I told my boys about it. He said, yo, it makes sense. David left. He went back because he's from Haiti. He went back to Haiti.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, he stuck me up, bro. He had a fucking bruise in my eye and everything. And then one of my boys was telling me, yo, because you're hanging out with ballers right now. Mind you, when I went to Japan, I was doing independent shows in Japan.
Mm.
I was not doing New Japan or Japan. I was doing Big Japan Pro Wrestling, a hardcore promotion. They was doing fine and everything, but it's still considered freelance, independent. And people just saw me, you know, giving out souvenirs, telling my stories. You got that one dude, but they like what you was doing with life. And he's thinking, like, you got mad money. I got to get paid. And he stuck me up and beat me up and took my money.
I never seen
him after that. When I say he left, he never came back home. I know he's in Haiti right now.
You know what's the sad shit? Is that it don't happen to not only, you know, guys like you who went out and even found their niche in a weird kind of fucking career and stuff. You get dudes who actually go out there and fucking find a job. They're not on the block anymore. They're making decent money. They found a city gig. They did whatever. And you get motherfuckers who come back and they'll hate on your shit. Like, it just,
yeah.
Just because you got a pension and a motherfucking and life insurance, it's like people come back and hate on your shit. It's sad. And that's why I said when you bring up the Santana thing, I could understand it. But mentally, I always say that don't forget where you come from. Don't ever forget
that.
That's where I could get the disconnect at. So
yeah,
we talk about earlier about the retirement thing is out the window. It's donezo. It's out of here.
Yeah, it's already gone. I did one month. It's already gone. Like when I'm training hard.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go to Atlanta December 27th. But I got a funny feeling it's going to cancel because of this coronavirus thing is going on right now. It's hectic. So, yeah. So, December 27th is supposed to be my comeback. I'm doing the fingers when I'm saying this. And if it's not, 2021, let's see what's up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm changing my style. A lot of people consider me as homicide. Dude, I might come out as D'Arazzo. I'm going to come out with my name.
And they'll be like, why you change your name?
I just don't care, man. I just want to compete, have a good show, you know, have the people, the fans enjoy the show. When they go back home, I can wait for the next thing. No, I'm not flashy, even though I never was flashy, but I'm a businessman, you know, and homicide is not a markable, name. If you think about it, look at the situation we're going through.
Right,
like
right.
Cops killing black men, and for what? Oh, he was charged for homicide. It's bad. Right. You know, like I want to have sponsors, man. I want like Cafe Postero to sponsor me, and they're gonna be like, "Hey, man, homicide. I don't know, man."
We gotta get that Goya fucking sponsorship. We gotta go get that advertiser.
Yeah, man, I want that, but I think the name homicide is too much. You know, it's too much for them. And I like to be realistic out there. You know, my people be like, yo, I know this looks fake, but man, I don't know. This is real. I know for a fact. That's my style. So I was like, no, screw that. I'm going to come out with Diarazzo, changing my wrestling style. My wrestling style, when I do schools, it's like Steve Rico and Finn Philly. Right. If you watch them, that's the way I wrestle. Mm. Everybody see me as a Hulk wrestler or brawler. I mean, that's my thing. But reality, in real life, when I train, it's just like Finn Philly and Steve Rico, that European style. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring that to the ring. I'm not, I don't know, Puerto Rican style and be hard-hitting.
Put a little Carlos Colon in Cima, but a little flavored. Not when he was fucking cutting his head with barbed wire and shit like that. But you know, little touchy.
Don't get me wrong, I love those, but man, I'm tired.
No, but you think about it. Look, no, I think it should be something to where it's reimagining and a reawakening for you because you know, especially the last run, and if you want to get those looks from those, especially now everybody's having some kind of underground or not underground, but you know, minor league training facilities and all that stuff. And you are the guy that everybody knows head first that they should go with. But, you can't put on a billboard as like being trained by homicide is like, what the fuck? But what would would you can't change the look? Would the still, like, if you were thinking about going for it, would you still, it'd be, you know, the whole hood swag, because you love your Boricua shit, you love wearing your Puerto Rican flag and all that shit, which is fine. You got,
man,
that whole Sabio,
same,
like,
you know
that,
I mean?
Sabio Vega kind of shit. Like, how do you think the look would look?
It'd be the same look. You know, I'm not going to change my look. The only thing I'm going to change is my name, because I'm trying to get sponsors, you know, come in from my pockets. But other than that, you know, I think I have the same look and see what's up after. I might take off the t-shirts. Everybody's like a little bit flashy when it comes to that. Like, oh, you should take off the t-shirts. My t-shirt represents something. Every t-shirt I got is different. Like, I got a t-shirt. It's the Misfits. Mm-hmm. You know the Misfits,
right?
The band.
The band, yeah.
I got their label, but with gold fronts. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so cool. We got like, yeah, I go to a white boy area and I put some gold fronts. And boom, you know, I wear NWA, of course, Wu-Tang, Biggie, because I'm from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Every shirt that I wear, it means something. It's like a story. So it's like every time you see me, okay, you got this kind of shirt, what that means. I want people to think that. Then I got no problem telling them their questions. I get them answers. Okay, this shirt means blah, blah, blah. Right. So I had some really bad shirts too. Like I put fuck the police. No, fuck 911. I did some graphic t-shirts, you know, but
those are the ones that don't go to pro wrestling tees. Those are the ones that don't get sold over there.
Nah, man. Pro wrestling will ban me. I never did business with them. Nah,
I was going to ask you. You never thought about doing because I know a lot of people when we did your shirt for the 25th anniversary, there were so many people who wanted them. And I was like, you know what? And we could have got the made. But the thing was like, nah, I'm not going to get these sold. I'm not going to get the made and sell them unless I get permission from D. Like, I'm not going to do that. So what I did was like, I made like five. And the crew had them. Like, three of us had them. And the rest, it was like two left. And I gave them off as a raffle for the show. Because I was like, I'm not gonna sit there and make money off of this dude. But I'm surprised that pro wrestling tees didn't, you know, they didn't reach out for you. Or you didn't reach out to them.
You should have told me, because this is who I am. Boris and T's is just like my thoughts. Like, I want to remember the conversation we had. I want to bring back the hood. I want to bring back everything. So what I'm doing is really bringing back, you know. Okay, you made that shirt, 25-17. All right, so all you got to have is green light, right, you know, and sell them. You know, of course, give me something, like a T-shirt or something, you know. But But what I'm doing is, like perfect example, like, I wanted to go to pro wrestling tees. Everybody, I mean, the wrestlers told me, go over there, you know, see what's up. Colt Cabana is one of the guys who owns that, and I'm boys with him. Mm-hmm. I never went. What I want to do is make my own product, you know?
Yeah.
All the people, Latinos or Negros in New York or in the hood, you know, they're trying to make their own business, and I want to help them out. Like, yo, you make some good, you know, art or music, you know? How about blah, blah, blah? How about this? You know, but you got to be serious about this. It cannot be for fun or you are a super duper duper fan of this guy. It got to be something, you know. Like, if you got a baby, you better take that money and get some diapers, because that would cost a lot of money, you know. So you try to make your own business. So that's who I am, man.
This is and this is what I'm telling you, like, you know, the Homicide name carried weight for all these years.
It is
so recognizable too, because like, you come in, you got the scarf all over the face, you got the doobie on, you got whatever is going, you got your bandana on in here, whatever. You walk in, everybody boom, 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 ready to go. Yo, it's about to get lit up in here. That shit carries
it's
over.
Label.
Yeah, and your image would be, yo, I even know the image that I saw with you looking like the Logan with the Homicide looking all that shit would pop. Like, people will buy that shit because you have a big, you don't even understand. Maybe you do, but there's a fan base that comes behind you that's legendary. I mean, people to this day, they'll say like, damn, why Homicide didn't get to this level, whatever. And you were never, and I always tell people that you were never that guy that was like, you know, and you know, people were thinking, well, you know, nigga likes to smoke weed. He likes his handy.
No, I've been telling people about that. Like, they always tell me, why are you not in all the restaurant now with Eddie Kingston or such and such, and the weed with Samoa Joe? I tell people, maybe they think that I'm not very serious about this. All they think is I like to party and smoke weed a lot. They don't know. Now they're starting to notice, but though it's too late, bro. I've been doing this for 26 years right now.
But let's be honest here. Between us and whoever listens to the show, right? Yeah. Let's be honest here. AEW hasn't knocked on your door for a little something?
No, but really? But I got a big butt with capital letters. I did have a lot of friends over there saying, telling Tony Khan, why you do not bring Homicide here? He's perfect. And one of the guys, Cody Rhodes' partner, he does a school. This is what I heard.
Well, QT Marshall?
And he was like, yeah, he was like, yo, like, Eddie Kings was the one telling him, yo, why you don't bring Homicide for a school or be an agent? It doesn't have to be wrestling. Well, first of all, like, we got too much agents. Number two, damn, man, he'd be so perfect for the wrestler school for Lee Wrestling. When I heard that, I got something, you know. And WWE, same thing. I'm friends, good friends with Diva Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
He's like my uncle in professional wrestling.
Right.
And you know, he's telling me something. It's a corporate. It's different, you know. And all the wrestling is more relaxed. So, but to me, it doesn't matter, man. I just know I could do this. You know, if you give me the chance and opportunity, like, let me take this. Let me give me the ball. Let me run it.
No,
but
I
got a lot of people telling me, like, yo, man, like, you need to bring this dude. So I got to give big shout out to those people down there, you know, hooking it up, man, because,
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is, too, man. And to be honest, I'm happy that you asked my opinion on it. Yeah, I think that this is the time for you to make that change to, you know, let's, and you talked about it on the show for a couple of years now, that where you said that, you know, you took the Homicide moniker and you was like, yeah, I took it. And it was like, yeah, it was whatever the case may be. I saw it here and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, whatever. And then it just, you rolled with it for years. And then you contemplated for a minute whether or not you should do it or not. But I think now is the time for the transition. And I think that it should be a big, not announcement, but a progression to show that you're not putting Homicide to sleep. You're just putting him away because D has to come out now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a good look for you and for your future, man. Ya tú estás más viejo para esta mierda, man. You're too old for this shit, man.
For real, you're not.
But since now we talk about how you're basically you're a three-time father now. Your growth is there. Your mental has always been more of a mentor figure to a lot of wrestling guys who are coming up. And we spoke earlier about that. Now the new guys aren't getting it. Has it because your wisdom has not been translating to them fully, or is it because they're so quick to want to get that quick reaction on the YouTube, on the Twitters, on the social media? Like, what are they not getting that maybe that is missing from what you wanted to convey to them?
I think they're still on cloud nine, and they're still fans. They started as, we all start, like I start as a fan, you know. Then I went to the game. I got a bunch of mentors like Manny Fernandez, Conan, the Dudley Boys. They all show me, you know, the blueprint. And I understood it, you know. So I got this. And you got people like before me who's still on the cloud nine.
I also think that you get lost in, people are feeling that they're losing themselves because they want the quick number. They want the quick money. They want that.
Yeah.
And Do you ever got confronted by like a young kid who looked at you and like looked at that guy like, fuck you telling me? You ain't big. You ain't been on fucking WWE. Like, who the fuck are you?
Bro, a lot. Matter of fact, one of them is Santana Ortiz.
No, get out of here. I thought those dudes love you.
Dude, they're the ones like, they looked at on us, Red, SATs. But for me, Santana always telling me, like, you say, you mentioned something that's in my head. And I think I said in your radio show in the past, I always say, if I made it, if I make it, everybody can make it. I don't want to hear anybody excuse. If I made it, everybody can make it with this game. And he took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, but I'm also talking about guys who sit there and look at you and be like, what the fuck you telling me? You ain't fucking been on WWE. Like, they downgrade your career. Like, man, get the fuck out of here with you. Anybody?
I never had that, but I got a feeling that someone
wanted
smack
him
for saying that.
We don't know. Repeat that, because I lost you. What was it you said?
Yeah, but I do. I never had that. Yet.
But you have a feeling someone has, like.
I got a feeling, you know, you got that you go to a room and you get that vibe, that tense, like, It got to be you. You get that, you know, that vibe. You're going to say something, but you don't want to say it.
Right.
Because there's going to be problems after that. You know? And me, I like, yo, keep it real, man. Tell me, I got so many people telling me, like, yo, if you never made it to the WWE, then you ain't shit.
Right.
You don't know, but I got people like that, you know, telling me, especially my family. And I took it. It's all good. You know, that's my motivation. So you really think I'm not that great to become a WWE superstar, whatever you want to call it. All right. And I give them my old tapes. I want you to watch it. Me busting ass off AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe. It's a list of people. And they look at me like, oh, man, but why are you still here? Because I'm too fucking humble. That's what it is.
And I'm stubborn. Not like, let's not be honest. You're stubborn too. Let's be for real. You're a little bit stubborn.
Yeah, man. I don't even know how to spell that, but I'm good.
But the other thing too is that people don't understand that you've gotten to a level, not even now, you've gotten to a level where it was like 10 years, maybe even 15 years ago, where guys was like, you didn't call out who you wanted to wrestle. They were calling out to wrestle you. Like, you know, you had guys that were like, oh, book me with Homicide. I know we can tear it down. And you were like, hey, fuck it. I don't care. You know, whatever the case may be. Like, you just was like, you went in and you did it. And sometimes that could either hinder your career or it can help it. Did you ever find it to wear that, like I said, Ring of Honor champion? You were in Impact. You were in all these marquee shows and marquee promotions, whatever. Did you ever find it to, you were in your part of your career where you was like, Yeah, I don't think I should be here, man. I don't like this. This is not working for me right now.
That kind of crazy mention. That never happened to me in the past, but right now, yes. Like Impact Wrestling, I don't want to go back to Impact Wrestling. My partner Hernandez is telling me, "Yo, let's go back. Let's see what's up." Blah blah blah. Now I'm like, I know. I don't want to go back. It's like going backwards. I need a new chapter right now.
It's like, so we're talking about, you don't want to go back to the projects. You don't want to go back there. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, you know, like, I hear rumors that somebody got heat with me, meaning like somebody got beef with me. And
really?
I feel like you're a chump, you know, for saying rumors, but Chichando. But I don't know, man. That's some bitch shit right there. I don't like bitches talking smack, whatever. But I'm like, I don't want to go backwards. You know, I love LEX, but to me, I got to put that on the side right now. That's the past. It was great. I need a new chapter. That's the way I feel with Impact Wrestling. Everybody's hitting me up about that. Yo, man, now we can see Good Brothers and LEX. It's not going to happen. I'm a believer. I feel like if they're not calling you, it's they don't want you. That's it. Point blank. You know, and they're telling me I'm too old. That's bullshit. Because I also showed them videos when I wrestled Pentagon, Phoenix, and we blew out the charts in New York. You tell him I don't got it? Yeah, whatever.
It's one of those things. A lot of people will be like, listen, you know, whatever's calling, I'm going to go. I'm going to make that, you know, I'm going to make that that connection, even if I got to fall back and do this. Or, hey, maybe if I go back, it'll be a better run. It's not always about the push. It's always about, you know, how the run is. Maybe that's humble or maybe that's stubborn, but I also respect and I see and I understand it, because I'll be the same way. I mean, man, fuck that. I'm not going back to that shit. I'm not going
to
do that.
To TNA, to Impact Wrestling 3 times already.
Right. But you think about it now, but you look at it like this, but now with this opening of the door of All Elite and Impact coming together this past week, you see the Kenny Omega with Don Callis and all this shit, whatever. And this, it seems to be where, you know, maybe this opens the door to the territorial kind of thing. Remember the old school ways that we remember?
Yeah.
The old school thing. It could be beneficial one way or another, even if it's like a one shot or the hot shots that we know about. It could be beneficial if somebody makes that call quick, man. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I don't want to go back to an old place,
you know,
like something new. And I feel I still don't forget what happened the last time. I want those guys. I'm never going to forget the last time.
Right.
I feel I was being used to put over somebody, you know. And I always tell people, like, watch the video. I want you to watch with the OGs versus LEX. I want to put those kids over. That was all me. They're telling me, yo, how about we do this? That's cool and everything, but I'm going to do it my way. And there's a reason why. So I did that. Then after that, I wrestled Phoenix and Pentagon. It was popular. And in the end, what happened? Hey, thank you for everything you did for us. A handshake, and that was it. Never came back. And then it went back, you know, but not me.
All right, no. And you know what? It's funny because the product is kind of, as much as I love Hernandez and I love his work and everything, and El Tambien is a little bit older también, and God bless him because he still looks great.
He's older than us.
Yeah, exactly. And he's still killing it, but not for nothing, it kind of misses you, Tambien. Like, it's still there, and it's like, nah, yeah. I can see where you got. I get it. I think you... You do need that. You need that new frontier to go and accomplish and knock out, especially for your age right now. It's awesome.
And not only that, like, a lot of people don't know that my goal was Masters Go Gone. That was my goal. Well, it was a phone call, but Conan telling me, "Yo, we going to do a show at MSG." It was what was it? Triple A. And somebody else.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it because my wife had a miscarriage. So I was all messed up at the head and depressed.
Right.
I was like last year. So I missed that. You know, so after that, I'm like, fuck, man, I missed my goal. I could have wrestled MSG, you know. Now in my mind, I'm like, yo, screw that. I'm going for the top dogs right now. I got to let them know, hey, man, I'm good. I'm here. You know, let me know what's up. And that's where I'm at right now.
WWE called and say you'll be the under guy who's putting a guy on, and you're coming out as D the Hispanic or whatever. It's like whatever fucking name I'm just making up, whatever. Like, but you getting that MSG spotlight if it would ever happen once COVID over. Would you take it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, listen, hey, people don't get it. If there's a goal that you want to obtain, yeah, you'll take it.
And that's the part that frustrates me a lot. Like, you know how many times that big company, especially WWE, is like, we can't take it because of his name. Well, give me a call and call me Doink the Clown. I want to make that shit special. And they don't understand. So it's like, I screw it, man. All right. It is what it is, you know?
I would love to see you dressed as the Gobbledygooker and win the 24/7 title. And when people, when you rip your fucking hat off, it's you. And people are like, what the fuck? That shouldn't be stupid as fuck, though.
If WWE hears that, bro, I will not be surprised that would do that.
Oh, man. But, shit, I call thinking that this might be, like, the last possibility of you fucking not doing this again. And I'm like, damn. Because, you know, I don't really like bothering you. And like I said, we're cool and everything. And I check in with you. And I show respect when you we lost Xavier this past year, man. It was crazy. Just your thoughts about that, because not many people know Xavier. What was a big impact that he was in, not only in the Indies in New York City, but in the beginning of ROH and stuff, and how his style really impacted a lot of dudes that they don't even know that they're doing his style. What's your thoughts about Xavier and what his passing?
Yeah. Well, not really. Phew.
Huh?
But the X part, what, Xavier?
Yeah, man. Just shoot it.
Man, to this day, it's still deep to me, man. Like, I always remember I was wrestling. Look at that. I forgot what
you was at VXS. I was watching it. You was at VXS, and they gave you the news that day. At that moment, I believe Larry announced it, and you had that match going in.
Do I got a call for Danny D'Amato like 5 minutes before the match. He told me about it. I really shocked. I'm still shocked about it because I don't know what's the true how he died, passed away. I hear a bunch of rumors, but I don't want to believe it. Then I was wrestling this cat, man. He got a bright future. I'm telling him, yo, like, don't even, like, sweat me. Everything be okay. So we did our thing. I got a microphone. I just didn't care, you know, because I couldn't. But to this day, I still can't believe it. And I'm like, man, this is crazy because these are the people I grew up with. That's like a family, you know, and you get older and the people that raised you after you, they die, you know. But this is a little bit different. These are the people that you travel with. You was wrestling each other every turf, going to like maybe New Jersey, Philadelphia, battle the turf. And he was a good dude. And we supposed to go back to Ring of Honor. That kills me the most. Because he used to call me every day, A-B-A-D, man, I want to go back to Ring of Honor. We got you. Then, boom, we're going back. We supposed to go back to Ring of Honor February, if I'm not mistaken, the 13th or the 15th.
Yeah, that was before the when COVID hit, because it was supposed to be the older guys versus the new breed and shit like that. Yeah, I remember.
Yes, I was supposed to wrestle Brody King. I forgot what EXO, but yeah, man, he was happy, man. Real happy, guy. And I'm telling him, yo, you got this, man. You're the biggest threat, you know, for the company. And he felt it good. After that, when COVID came in, they canceled the show. I never heard from him.
But ¿qué pasó? What was it that happened?
I don't know, man. To this day, I don't want to know.
Wow.
Because it still hits to the heart, you know? Like, it's been a minute right now, but it's like, man, like, sometimes I feel like it's still here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I feel the same way with everybody I'm close to, like, my peoples, Red and HT, Bonnie, so everybody, like, man, this is, I'm in shock. To this day, I still am.
Yeah, you guys were the doghouse guys. You guys came out. You guys were the New York, I guess you could say the renaissance of the New York guys in wrestling.
Yeah, during that time. Like, to me, that's huge. I mean, that's history. You know, after ECW closed down, we the one took over up to New York. And Yeah. Yeah, myself, him, everybody.
I laugh because I was going. I was going through your I don't know who the fuck writes your Wikipedia. It's fucking hilarious that they had you as you were trained in the back of a bodega for wrestling. I was like, yeah. is that where Pedro had his, is that where Pedro had his school at, in the back of a bodega?
Well, actually, it was inside the bodega, not the back. What happened was my boy, he was like hustling bodega projects, and he's telling me, yo, walk with me. I got to give my money to my dad. I'm like, okay. It was raining. We go to Southside Brooklyn. It was a legit a bodega store. I'm like, yo, why this has sent me to a bodega store? I go in, all I see is a red ring, a wrestling ring. And two of my guys from high school was there, but I never believed them. Because one of them, his name is Warpath, and the other one is Edwin. And they used to rock cigarettes in school, like those the Steiner Brothers. I'm like, why are you wearing cigarettes
in Easton?
School?
And this was an Easton, they wore singlets in Easton.
It is Easton. Easton, bro, because we had a, I don't know if you heard that crew, DDP, Dominicans Don't Play.
Oh, yeah. We had a few run-ins with them a couple of times. All right.
So basically, they had like, it was like Rikers. They had the corner on check. Whoever passed through that corner,
oh,
is going to get beat up.
Fourth floor. By 450. Like, was it 450? Was it 450? On Easton, the corner on, was it, I think it was the fourth floor. I think it was 450 where they had all the classroom in that one spot. Yeah, it was 450. 451 Inc. That's exactly
what
it
was. Yeah, that's a lot, bro. So to my boys who was wearing cigarettes, I'm telling you, go over there, suplex them. Hey, they're telling me, yo, you need to go to this wrestling school. Yeah, whatever. And I go, and it was a bodega. A red ring to my boys, and I'm like, are you kidding me? There's a wrestling ring in here? Yeah, I was, to this day, I'm still bugging out about that part. Like,
oh, shit, it's so
$25, and history was made. It was,
so funny, because remember, we talked about it before, where you guys used to do the block matches, the block events and shit like that for the block parties. Fucking hilarious, man. But, yeah, man, it's It makes me feel good that the thought process of you now is the next level, next growth. And it's unfortunate that COVID kind of fucked up your retirement run, but it also brought upon something new where you're like, you know what? There's something that has to come from this. And I think, yeah. I think with COVID brings I hate to use a cliche word, a rebirth. But I think it's something that needs to be done for you and your brand and everything that comes with you. You're a fucking awesome dude. You mad? Yeah, like I said, you're people to not only the locker room, but everybody who comes through and people that you bring together. It's funny because I always tell a story that I know you for years because we met here and there, like in passing. There was an event that you did one time in ICW, and you were in a tag match, right? And I don't know what the fuck, if they booked you to do anything, but you were just there for the most part. And I think you did the finish and you were done. And I was at the bar and you walk, and this was at Elks. And you know, the walk when you walk to go to the locker room, you walk through and you slam the door like you killed it. And I looked at the bartender and I was like, what the fuck is he hype about? He didn't do shit. But you came out and you was like, you came to the bar and I went to you. I was like, you want something? He was like, no, I'm good. I was like, nah, what you want? He was like, I'll take a shot. I'll take Henny. I was like, all right, bye, man.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we met up again. And then that's when we built up our fucking correlation up here for Turnbuckle Tablet and stuff. But once again, I want to thank you for stopping in, taking the time. And I know you're a busy man. You got to go deal with the little one right now. But before I do let you go, let everybody know where they can get you at. Don't hang up because I want to talk to you about something quick. But let everybody know where they can get you at.
Best right now, I would say Diarazo on Instagram. Saalo 5150. I'm the only cat in this world who's very poor with social networks. I got no Twitter. I hate Facebook. You know.
But you be on it though. You share certain things sometimes. I see you.
No, I go to Instagram. That's my thing, Instagram. I love pictures, you know, stuff like that, you know. But right. That's the only thing. So I love 5150 Instagram. I got a couple of shows that are coming back, you know, and I need my own closure. And people say, I knew these not going to retire. Man, fuck you. That's
I remember you was like, I'm going to take my last blunt in the ring and I'm going to be out, yo. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, damn, they all right. Fuck, man, they got me.
Conyo, how you people know me like that, yo? But
that's good, man. I'm happy for that, man. The people say things like that. So that's cool.
Yeah, so guys, once again, thank you for checking in for this week's episode. Please don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you a little bit more once I cut this off. And guys, take a bump. We're going to be out of here. Laters. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.